Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue our theme this week, looking at the teaching of our Lord and the teaching of St. Paul, and which echoes and shows what St. Paul described as the kindness and severity of God. There's so much in the teaching of Jesus, so much in the teaching of the apostles that is, you know, profoundly encouraging, upbuilding. But then there's times when Jesus and the apostles speak very directly, and they bring, you might say, the discipline of the Lord. The reading we looked at Monday, which was part of the three readings at Mass this past Sunday, taken from Hebrews chapter 12, that said, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. And discipline's difficult. It's difficult to receive. Nobody likes it. And they make the example, use the analogy of a father. Every good father disciplines the son whom he loves. And so it is, the writer of Hebrews tells us, so it is with God the Father. I made the point that I think this is one thing that the church is living through right now, is the discipline of the Lord, that God loves his church. God loves the leaders of the church. But at the same time, he's not pleased with the compromise that's there, our compromise with sin, our fear of men, the kind of things that really seem to have a grip on parts of the church. Jesus is coming to expose the sin so that we repent and turn to him, and we come back to a healthy fear of God, not the fear of men or the inordinate love of self, but a radical love for God that's undergirded by a sense of God's holiness, which often is expressed in a healthy fear of God, not a slavish fear, but a healthy fear that the scripture talks a lot about, the fear of the Lord, that it's pure, right? It brings blessing to our lives. It orders us rightly as creature to God. It's standing before God's awesomeness and his holiness, and it makes us wise. It makes even the simple wise, because it aligns us properly with reality, with God himself, right? And so the discipline of the Lord helps restore that. It reorients us and it anchors us where we need to be and helps focus us on putting first things first, radically loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I haven't spoken yet this week about the first reading at Mass each day from the first letter to Thessalonians. As I've been reading and meditating through it, I didn't want to forget it, though the center of what I've been talking about this week is, you might say, the hard sayings of Jesus, which, remember, the hard sayings of Jesus are just as much an expression of his love, his deep and profound love for us, his unconditional love for us, as are the sweeter, more gentle ways in which Jesus expresses his love to us. All of it is love, because all of it comes from Jesus, who is love itself. I want to take a look at some of the passages that we're given, though, this week from 1 Thessalonians first. Here's St. Paul. He said, this is the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. He says, we give thanks to God always for you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith, labor of love, and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, and love. The three theological virtues, right? Faith, the work of faith, that is our radical entrusting of our lives to God. Saying yes wholeheartedly to Jesus, believing everything he teaches us, everything he's given to us in his church to bring us to life, receiving it and walking in it. And the labor of love, that is really understanding that what Jesus called the first and the greatest thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that we're meant to be engaged in love. We're brought into communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlivens us. It tenderizes our heart. It reveals, the Holy Spirit reveals to us who God is and gives us a new power and a new capacity to return that love in fellowship with God and to give it out in fellowship with neighbor. And of course, he talks about the endurance of hope. Hope is the confident expectation that what we see in faith, our destiny, that's revealed in Jesus Christ glorified at the right hand of the Father. It's a deep abiding confidence that gets tested in this life. Therefore, we need to endure, but it gives us strength to endure, hope. that what we see, we know we will one day possess fully, and that even now we've begun to possess it in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and our life in the body of Christ and in the church. He goes on to say, annoying brothers and sisters, loved by God, how you were chosen. So he's always reminding us, that, like a good pastor, that you're loved and you're chosen. I mentioned yesterday St. Francis's words. He said, I am who I am before God, nothing more and nothing less. Well, who am I before God? I'm loved and I'm chosen. And this aligns with Paul's teaching. He says the gospel that he preaches reveals the mystery that was hidden for ages in God, that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be saved by Jesus and through his gospel. So God chose you. God loves you. Start the day today. If you're having a difficult morning, if you're starting a little bit slow, maybe you're having interior battles, you're struggling, start here at this point to say, I'm loved by God. Who am I? I'm loved by God, and I'm a lover of God. That's who I am. That's the definition of success. That's what life's all about. And if I'm living there, and if that's something that I'm walking in, then my life is a success, no matter what else is going on. This is ultimately what we're made for. And know that you're chosen, that God chooses you. He chose you out of love. And he's delighted to choose you and to say, it's really good that you exist. You're my child. You're my son, my daughter. You're my idea. That's why you're here. So be of good cheer. I've overcome all the things that are set against you, that you're struggling against. I'm with you always. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. He goes on to say, for our gospel, that is the good news, that's the gospel he's preaching, for our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with much conviction. Here's a really important question for us to ask as a church. Each of us are called to communicate the word of God to people in some way. We have priests and bishops and deacons and others who preach to us every weekend and at daily mass and things. The bishop is the primary teacher of the diocese. And many of us, men and women, young and old, we have roles to play where the Lord has put us in positions to communicate the gospel and to teach it. And this is an important question for all of us to ask. Is the word that we're communicating, is it animated by power, the Holy Spirit, and does it produce much conviction, both in each of us as the preachers, the communicators, but does it produce something in the hearer? Is our message anointed? I remember Father Francis Martin, a great biblical scholar who's gone home to the Lord. He used to teach annually at the Steubenville Priest Conferences every summer. I would always buy the cassette tapes of his talks because they were just fantastic. He's a great, great biblical teacher, Bible teacher, biblical scholar. And he would often talk to the priests about how to communicate the Word of God. And he'd say to them, okay, you've had a busy weekend. It's Monday. Make sure to take your day off or part of the day off, whatever it is that you do. And he said, in the beginning Tuesday, begin to work on your homily for the coming Sunday. He said, and do all the work initially that needs to be done, the Formgeschicht and the Sitzenleben, and those are German terms for basically critical scholarship. You know, what's the meaning of the text? What do we know about it? What do we know about the situation? Who's he speaking to? What do the words mean? You know, do all that work, he said, so you get familiarized, get situated in the text. And then he said, once you've done that, then get on the floor, he said, with your face in the ground and beg the Holy Spirit to put a living word in you to preach to your people. The Lord himself is the shepherd of your people, and he shepherds his people through the Holy Spirit and through the guidance of those that he's put in a position. And a pastor's in a unique place as the chief shepherd of that parish. Father Francis makes a good point. He said it again and again and again in all the years he taught. He said, the only word that's going to produce change, and in this context, Paul is saying, produced much conviction. People were convinced that what they heard was true. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, touching the human heart. And he said, what you need to do is get God's living word for your people. and preach it, declare it, proclaim it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit so that the power of God, which really is the Holy Spirit at work, coming from your spirit to the spirit of the hearer, he will animate that word. If the Holy Spirit doesn't touch it, it's just like the Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible, the writing of the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit animating it, these are just letters on paper. It's a dead letter apart from the Holy Spirit who animates it and has the power to awaken that word within your heart and mind. And so preaching and teaching is a cooperating with the work and the mission of the Holy Spirit. And it needs to come from a heart that's filled with confidence and conviction and is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and actually believes that the Holy Spirit wants to work through them and that the power of God can go forward to do something that none of our great articulate, eloquent preaching can ever do, and that's change a human heart. So Paul goes on, he said, "You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake, and every place your faith in God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything." You know, the word that was planted in them, the conviction, Paul is now saying, he's affirming them as a shepherd. He's saying, the faith really entered your heart, and now it's going out from you. It's not just staying in you. The way you're living, the way you're speaking, you're extending the kingdom of God where you are. That's what a parish is meant to do. That's what a diocese is meant to do. He goes on, he said, "For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you." And listen to this, he said, "How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." It's a fantastic sentence there. It describes the transformation that the gospel and the preaching of the gospel and Paul's leadership and the leadership of those he'd put in place, how that collective work of God produced radical change in primarily the Gentiles they were preaching the gospel to, that believed in idols. You know, these many of these cities like Thessaloniki and others, they had temples, and idol worship was a very common thing. There were all kinds of gods that were worshipped and the rest of it. And Paul's preaching was often, wait a minute, these are dead. This is wood. This is stone. These are not living, right? And turn from them to the one true God. It's the only place to find life, healing, salvation. And so the preaching, Paul's saying, led to people turning away from their idols. That's what the preaching of the church is meant to do. That's what evangelization is meant to help people do, to turn from idols, to stop worshiping things, that is loving things with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength that ought to be secondary or tertiary in their life, that are less than themselves, and we're exalting it as the most important thing. It's the thing that we're living for on a day-to-day basis. Money, sex, power, honor, whatever. And he said a turn happened. That's another word. Basically, he's describing conversion. You turn to the living and true God and the one whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, that delivers us from hell, gives us heaven. That's what Jesus can do. He's the Savior. And that's what the gospel preached and lived can do for people. And Paul is reminding us, each one of us, the power of God that's at work in us if we say yes to him. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.